I'm happy to introduce Brother David as our speaker this morning and to ask that you give him your careful attention and an interest in your private prayers. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. We sometimes think that the scriptures that we are given are hard to understand, and so we have a tendency to apply what we fully understand and kind of forget the rest. And if you look in the bookstores today, you'll find that there are many Bibles, many books to teach us what we should know, and it's difficult at times to know what's right and what isn't, especially if we haven't been raised understanding the scriptures and applying them to our lives. We don't think of Christ as one who would read scriptures. We think of him as the one that made scripture. Well, it's true that he told those that were instructed to record what was going on, so that those things would be brought forth from generation to generation. But it's also true that Christ read the scriptures, which had been before the time that he took on flesh and blood. And one of the places where we can read this is in Luke in the 24th chapter. This was where those that went to the tomb of Christ found it empty. Now, history will try and tell you that it's because the disciples had broke into the tomb and taken the body of Christ. It was the reason why it was empty. But Christ had told his disciples that this was going to happen. He said, I will be risen on the third day after my death, from the time that he was crucified. And when he had told this to his disciples, Peter told him, that's not going to happen. Far be it from us to let that happen to you. And Christ's response to him was, get thee behind me, Satan. For that which is given in Scripture is going to happen. I'm going to start on the 12th verse of Luke 24. And this is where Peter was told that the tomb was empty. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and that would be about 7.5 miles that these two were going to walk. And they walked and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and hath crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, and which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? So Christ had kind of cloaked himself. And then he brought forth the prophecies in the scripture unto these two who had seen these things come about. And they were witnesses of these things. So it was an eye-opener to them when they realized that he was Christ and that he was alive and that he broke the bread with them and ate with them. And if you read the rest of this chapter, it goes to show you how Christ proved himself to them. And said, if I were a spirit, then I would not eat bread with you. But he was flesh and blood. He was still alive. He'd come out of the tomb after the third day. Because that's what the prophecies in the scriptures said that he would do. I want to go over to John chapter 5, where it tells us to search the scriptures. I'm going to read verse 39. And these are the words of Christ. It says, Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures do testify of Christ. And if we search those scriptures, we will have the hope in us that we can find eternal life in believing in Christ and following the commandments that he gave. We're told to believe on God and on the things that he has given us. And over in 2 Timothy, it tells us to search the scriptures for instruction. I want to turn over there and read some of that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read 14 through 16. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Telling us to that the scriptures are for our knowledge, for the things which we must do within our lives to please God. In verse 17, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if we search these scriptures, we find that through them is perfection. And it's only through believing on God that we can find perfection. It's through repenting of those things that we do which are wrong and asking for forgiveness for those things. And that was the reason why Christ came and sacrificed himself, is so we could find perfection. I want to turn over to Hebrews in the 13th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an unchangeable God, and Christ is the same today as he was yesterday and as he will be in the second coming when he comes to straighten things out for us. He doesn't change, and he doesn't change the scriptures which he has left for us. There are those that would have you to think that because of the day that we live in, it is not the time of old when Christ walked the earth and Christ brought scripture about, told those to write it down. We live in the modern days. So the scriptures don't apply to us today the way they did to those people then. Well, that's when, if we believe that, then we are being corrupted by Satan. We are being led to believe the concepts of men and not of the things of Christ. And that's a sad thing, because there's a lot of people that think they have to have a new inspired scripture, that they have to have something that pertains to them today, the way we live today. And we're warned about this in Scripture, that these things are going to come about. And what did happen to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah when they decided that they didn't have to obey God, that they could live according to however they wanted to live. And God, when he'd had enough of it, he destroyed those cities, didn't he? So we have to be careful. In 2 Peter, I want to read in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Speaking here a little bit about the day that we live in. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. In other words, they change those things because they don't understand. As they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, just because you don't understand something that Paul wrote in the scriptures doesn't mean that we need to change it. It means that we need to pray about our own understanding of the scriptures and that these things can be revealed to us. Instead of changing the scripture, we need to understand it. Sometimes it takes a lot of faith and a lot of speaking to the Lord and asking him, what does this mean? Does it pertain to me today? Because some of the scriptures are hard to understand at times. I want to change books here just for a little bit, one reading. And go to page 351, and I think this is the book of Alma. Book of Alma, chapter 10. I want to read the 17th verse on page 351. Behold, the scriptures are before you. If ye will rest them, it shall be to your own destruction. Telling us the same thing as it just I just read in the Bible. That if we change the things that God left for us and the instructions that he gave to us, it will be to our own destruction. Are there things in the church today that have been changed? Yes, I believe there are. And we should be very careful about believing in the concepts of men or believing in those things that God left for us. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament and Proverbs. The 30th chapter of Proverbs. And I want to read the 5th and 6th verses of 30th chapter of Proverbs. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. How many of us think that we are smarter than God? Smarter than the things that he left for us, so that we can change it? That's not putting our trust in him, is it? That's walking away and saying, well, God didn't know what my life is like. God is the one that gave us life. He is the one that provides a way for us to be perfect in life. And we're told not to change the word of God. But through the ages, it's been tried. It's been done, and it's always to the destruction of the people until they return to God and give him the understanding that we believe in him, not in the word of man. If every word of God is pure, how can we improve upon that? We can't. We might say, well, I want to change it because I'm not living up to that pure word of Christ or of God. And all the things that Christ gave to us were given to him from God. He told us that. He said, the things that I bring to you are the things that I have received from the Heavenly Father. So we shouldn't try to change it. I want to go to Isaiah, where it tells us that the things that God gave us through his word were not things that were void. And we can't make them void, because these things will come about. In Isaiah chapter 55, I want to read 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You know, there is joy in believing on the things of God. It brings light into our life. And when we obey those things, it gives us blessings from God. But if we turn away from those things and say, well, that right there doesn't pertain to my life, then we are going to lose that joy. We're going to lose that light in our life, because the word which God gave us is not void. it's not meaningless. It has meaning, and it has the words of life written in the scriptures. As Christ tried to show to those that were having difficulty believing that he could be sacrificed. I want to go to Jeremiah. The 30th chapter of Jeremiah. And read the first 3 verses of that chapter. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Now this is something that the word of the Lord says is going to happen, and it will happen. Regardless, if we say we don't believe it, that there's no way that Israel can become the Lord's chosen, it'll happen because he said it would. I want to go back to Jeremiah 6 and read verse 16. And we have to remember that the Lord, through the scripture, told us that we have freedom in our life, that God will let. In other words, he's not going to make us do something. He's going to let us choose whether we want to follow after the Lord or follow after the precepts of men. That's one of the things that we are free to choose, because he has given us freedom in our life. And he's not going to strike us with lightning if we choose wrong. But we're told that we're going to be judged out of the scriptures when our life is over. And we walk before that judgment seat of God, that it's those scriptures that we know of to be right, to be the pure word of God. That is what will judge us and how we applied those things to our life. 16th verse of the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." You know, if we would stick with the scriptures that the Lord gave us and not change them, that we would walk in the old ways, the same way that Christ walked in. When he did away with the laws of Moses, and he said, "I give unto you a new commandment." He gave us the new laws in which pertain to our lives until he returns again. That is what is right. And these things which he gave us, we should not change. We should not say, well, because of the day that we live in, that's wrong. And it doesn't pertain to me. Or we can just say, well, probably what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. In other words, we deny the Word of God. And we go according to the precepts of men. Then we just are falling into a snare. And we're not walking the old path. But we're creating a new path, and the only way that path can lead is to destruction. But the joy that we have, if we follow the old path, if Christ was to walk with us today and to read us the scriptures and say, is it not said that this is the way it will be? To watch for these things, watch for these signs and wonders, then we know what day we live in, and we know what we must do to be faithful to God and to earn eternal life in His kingdom. He does walk with us with His Word right here in our hand. And that's what He was showing those people. You have the truth. You've even witnessed the things which have happened. Now you have to believe them. Thank you.